is Faith Works Live, brought to you by Baldwin Heating and Plumbing, 515-371-4036. Now here's the host of Faith Works Live, Michael Damascus.
It is cold outside. I don't know if you've noticed that or not, but it is freezing. So you need to make sure that your furnace is working properly. If you don't realize it yet, I don't know how you couldn't know. Either you've just got a wood-burning stove, you have a log fire in your house. I don't know, but the way to make sure your furnace is going to stay up to snuff in this kind of cold weather is you got to call Baldwin, B-A-L-D-O-N, Baldwin Heating and Plumbing, Dallas County's oldest, 515-371-4036. That's 515-371-4036. My name is Mike Damascus. I'm the host, guest one here on FaithWorks Live, 99.3 FM, The Truth. This is our pre-Thanksgiving Life Tuesday. We're so honored that you're tuning in today. In studio with me, as always, on Life Tuesday is Tim Overland. Hello, Tim.
Hello, Mike.
He's the director of Personhood Iowa, and we brought in a guest with us today, and I'm really glad that he's here because he will be the smartest one in the room today.
I was going to say, way to smarten up the room today, Mike.
Yep. Now, I did warn him. I want you to know, just warning on this. He's normally here with Ian, because normally I talk politics with Joel when I bring him in, and Ian is incredibly intelligent. So I told him, you're going to have to get used to that not being a thing.
Wow. Ouch.
Wow. Well, I included myself in that. Okay, so, right, you know, right. It was not just you, mainly you, but not just you. Anyways, we're really honored that you're joining us. Joel Curtinitis is with us. And I've had Joel's wife here on the show as well. Joel's been on numerous times. I got to say, Kelsey's a much better guest.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yep. And she smells better. All of that, you know. So there's that. Anyways, not that I sniffed her. I didn't sniff her.
That would have been a little bit odd, but I was going to wait till after the show to ask.
Well, then I'm sure she's tuned in, so you make sure you're getting those points, too. So thanks
for the comments, boys. Watch the comments.
Joel Curtinitis actually writes for, he's a columnist with the Des Moines Register. And he's probably, I think, the lone conservative person that, you know, does anything considered conservative with the Des Moines Register.
I would argue there's at least one more. He writes for the Metro.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well,
is he out, or don't out him? Don't get him in trouble.
He's the Phantom Menace. He or she may write somewhere in the Register. You know,
Joel, you just recently wrote an article, which I this is the reason why I wanted to have you on to talk about your article, and I want to talk about first off the title. This is the title. Midterm results show Iowa voters have embraced anti-abortion, quotes, heartbeat law. So did you title your article?
I did not.
I'm so glad to hear that, because that is the crappiest title.
I submitted it, and I couldn't come up with something pithy enough. So on the deadline that I was working on, I submitted it, and I said, hey, if you've got something snappy for the title, throw it at me. And then they just sort of went with it. So,
okay. Because I was going to just jump all over you about the anti-abortion.
I'm very careful with my terminology.
Yeah. Because that just doesn't seem like you. And it just doesn't fit, honestly, at all with the whole article itself.
Well, there goes the first segment. He was going to pick on you for the first 20 minutes. So now you got to start with something new.
Well, I'm still dealing with the fact he said he wanted to have me on to talk about the article. I thought he just liked me that much.
So here we are. Midterm results show Iowa voters have embraced pro-life heartbeat law. How about we say it that way? That would be a thing, you know. But Des Moines Register, they picked the title, you know, and that's how they always roll. But you had some incredibly salient points in this article. You said, basically, if you were supportive of the heartbeat bill and you were running, you won.
If you were, that's a really broad statement. I said nearly every Republican who supported it won, or nearly every Republican that touched it, I think, was the way that I put it. And so specifically what I meant by that, obviously not every Republican won again. So I'm not including just people who, you know, cast a floor vote on it, although many of them, of course, are in red districts. They're fine, too. What I meant was that everybody that, you know, brought it out of committee, voted to pass it on to the floor, was vocally behind it and endorsing it and supporting it. Basically, everybody that did that got reelected. And that wouldn't be remarkable in a toss-up year or in a presidential year where you have two strong candidates and your turnout model is different. In a midterm, with an unpopular president and an expectation of that blue wave, it's very significant. Because that was an expectation that was unfulfilled that the Democrats were planning on capitalizing on.
Right. So we didn't have a blue wave in Iowa, at least in our state level.
Maybe a trickle.
Okay, a blue trickle. So why did we have three representatives go Democrat? Well,
so
one stayed.
I honestly think, and this is something that I said before the election happened, is that my prediction for the election was that it was going to be strikingly average, but everyone was going to scream about it anyway. And that's pretty much what happened. I mean, I put up an article discussing the fact that four unpopular presidents that are, you know, underwater on their approval ratings, the average loss of seats in a midterm is 35. The average. How many seats did the Democrats pick up now? Has it even hit 40 yet? I mean, this was an average midterm with an unpopular president. And what was so you should expect those losses to come in because that's just what happens when you have an
right.
unpopular president. What you should not expect is for a lot of states to retain Republican legislatures and a Republican governorship while they're rejecting the federal representatives from that same party. That's what was striking about it.
Well, I talked to a lot of folks before Election Day, and to be honest, some folks that I spoke to that are really in the know, like one guy's name rhymes with Steve Dace, he was telling me that it didn't look good. The numbers, he called it. He said that David Young was going to go down. He called it. He didn't think Rod Blum was going to make it. Mm-hmm. But he said that they were going to drag down the ticket and it was going to make it really hard for Kim Reynolds to win. And that he said Steve King was only going to win by a narrow margin.
Mm-hmm.
And he was right on those three accounts. But actually, Kim Reynolds kind of pulled out a little bit stronger victory, I think, than he saw.
Yeah, and I had talked to some people the days leading up to the election, and those were my predictions as well, was, you know, we're probably going to lose three of the and it's not fortune telling at that point, right? Young lost his voter registration advantage in the final days. That's a bad indicator. Blum was in a blue district to start with. It was a miracle that he ever got elected in the first place. He's a great representative, and I love having him there. He's one of my favorite people, but he was in a blue district.
Right.
And that's what happens in a blue district. If you can't constantly produce, you know, the biggest and you know, most popular things, you're just going to go down unless you can change that registration advantage. So, but as far as I did believe that Reynolds was going to pull it off. I knew it was going to be narrow, but I thought she was going to pull it off. But that's where I think a lot of people parted on the conventional wisdom of it because Hubble was ahead in the polling in the final days.
Right.
And so there were a few people didn't see that coming, and then holding both sides of the legislature, I don't think a lot of people saw that coming either. And there's a critical component that runs throughout this, right? This was supposed to be – I mean, there's a Register editorial that said people should hold Reynolds accountable for the heartbeat law. And this was the push, was look what she did. She betrayed women. Get her out.
Well, that was a campaign point for Fred Hubble.
That's all he talked about.
Signed extreme, you know, pro-life or what is it, anti-abortion legislation mm-hmm. into law. And that was a really strong point that he was making all through the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
One of the problems that I had, and I had Kim Reynolds on my show three different times. One of the problems I had with Kim Reynolds was she wasn't touting her pro-life side as much. And she finally came out towards the end, you know, promoting her pro-life position.
Mm-hmm.
But Fred Hubble came out of the gates talking about building Planned Parenthood and supporting them as an organization. And I'm like, he was making that the issue in the campaign.
Exactly. And that's why you can't blow this off as just another, you know, fluke of the economy or other results that she's talking about in the state. This was the definition that the Democrats wanted. This was the line that they wanted between them. And they went all in on this pro-abortion message and lost. And that's a huge thing. I mean, there's not been many writers on either side talking about the momentum of the pro-life movement. I've been one of the very few that has come out and said, look, this is the way of the future. If you look at the younger generation, they are increasingly in favor of abortion restrictions. They're increasingly knowledgeable about the science of life and looking at it and saying, okay, this we are way past the medical science days of Roe v. Wade. We understand what's going on with conception
right.
and embryology now. I've seen that trend and I've talked about it. People didn't believe me. I think this is a big validation.
So it's Life Tuesday. Where the voice you're hearing before me was Joel Curtinitis, and he is a contributor with the Des Moines Register, wrote an article really evaluating the midterm elections, especially here in Iowa, in our state. And that's what we're talking about. And Joel ultimately was coming to the conclusion that it is really helpful for you, if you're running in the state of Iowa, to be unashamedly pro-life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And people need to know about it. Because this is not something you have to give them the opportunity to make that decision and make that delineation between you and your opposition. And the numbers really bear that out on this. I mean, the margins, people were, you know, kind of shooting from the hip whenever the article was published and saying, well, that's ridiculous. Reynolds won because of the margin in King's district. King didn't have much of a margin.
Right.
He won by 11,000 votes.
Right.
The separation between Hubble and Reynolds was like 50,000.
Right.
So there's a difference there. And she ended up earning, let's see here, she ended up earning 662,000 total votes, while the rest of the Republicans in Congress won a total of 606. That's 50,000 more people who pulled the trigger for Kim Reynolds who did not pull the trigger for their reps, for their congressional representatives.
So there are people that said, I want Kim Reynolds as my governor. I don't want a Republican as my
U.S. House.
U.S. House representative.
And that's not to say, and at no point have I said that's the only thing that
right.
split them. It's certainly not. I would say there's two other major factors at least. One is the unpopularity of Trump and his tariffs here in the Midwest. It's a boneheaded policy that's going to get him hurt with farmers and manufacturers. It's just bound to happen. But the other one is the change in voting laws here, where we now have gotten rid of straight ticket voting.
Yes.
And which, again,
step one.
Again, that is something that I wrote an article about last year. So I'm glad they got rid of that. But that can have something to do with it too, right? Because now instead of just filling in the one oval, you had folks go down and make an informed decision on the different candidates at different levels.
Right. And I'm glad you're here, Joel, because you're going to help us kind of figure some of this stuff out. I think a lot of us were happy with the results of the election. Most people I know did not see us retaining the trifecta, and we did. We have the state, we have the state house and the Senate house, and we have the governorship in Iowa, which is, that's crazy that we were able to maintain it. But we want you to jump into this conversation. Do you think that the governor and other people that won their reelection won because of their pro-life positions? Why don't you join us at 515-727-5842. You can call us at that number. You can text us at the same number, 515-727-5842. We want you to jump in with us. We'll be right back.
This is Faith Works Live, brought to you by Baldwin Heating and Plumbing, 515-371-4036. Now here's the host of Faith Works Live, Michael Damascus.
I want to talk to you about some beef. You need beef in your life. I would suggest this Thanksgiving, why don't you make a big old roast beef instead of a turkey? And if you're going to do that, why don't you do it with Onimus beef? O-H-N-E-M-U-S beef. The best beef you could ever get. The way to get Onimus beef is not by running to the grocery store. It is by contacting the farmer himself, David Onimus. You call him at 515-238-7505. That's 515-238-7505. You wouldn't have a better Thanksgiving if you replaced your turkey with a roast beef from Onimus Beef. My name is Mike Damascus, and I'm the host, guest one here on Faith Works Live. This is our pre-Thanksgiving show. We're so glad that you're joining us. It's Life Tuesday. It's a great day. In studio with me is the director of Personhood Iowa, Tim Overland. Hello, Tim.
Hello.
Also, we're all being held together by the power of Chris Roloff's beard.
Pretty magnificent.
It is, actually. It really is. It's looking beautiful. He just like caresses his beard while we do our show, and it helps.
Keeps everybody calm.
It does. Just a beard calming effect. But also in studio with us today is Joel Curtinitis. Joel Curtinitis is a contributor to the Des Moines Register. Don't hold that against him. He actually writes good stuff that I cannot believe the Des Moines Register allows to be published. I thought that they believed there were crimes, you know, this is crimes against humanity to say some of the things that you have said, which is common sense. But Joel has written an article that kind of broke down the midterms for us here in our state. The title of the article, which Joel did not place on his article, is Midterm Results Show Iowa Voters Have Embraced Anti-Abortion Heartbeat Law. And I'm telling you that in case you want to search it. Don't shake your head at me, Chris Roloff. That's why I shared the title of the article, in case people want to Google it.
Can I also say thank you, God, for that he invented the incognito way to search for this thing so you don't have to pay for it?
Oh, okay.
Because otherwise I wouldn't have been able to read it. I was like, thanks, Joel. I can't read it. It's behind the paywall.
Mm. Well, I don't even want to go there. But I'm really, really happy for this article because I think Joel makes some incredibly important points in this that I wonder just the pushback that you're getting from this, because some people are going to think you're nuts, man. You're smoking the pro-life weed. You're not making any sense. Have you heard some pushback on your thoughts on this?
Well, there has been, but not a lot of it has involved any proof or any data at all. It's just,
I know those people you're talking to.
It was kind of amusing to me. If you look down the list, so the Register shared the article on social media, got generated a lot of interest there, I'll say.
Oh, really?
But if you look down the list of comments, they really are just responding to the headline. You know, nope, not me. I don't like it. I hate this law. It's evil. I hate it. I don't like it. That's been the majority of the pushback. With the occasional, you're stupid, stay out of my uterus, blah, 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 which, you know, what are you going to do?
Okay, so let's get down to the brass tacks. You are positing this point that it was very helpful for Republicans who were running to promote their pro-life position and their record if it lined up, for sure. Mm-hmm. What facts do you have to back that up?
So I'm basing that on the fact that the Democrats made that the defining point in this election. Now, you could say people tend to vote on economic issues, right? But the economy is doing fantastic under President Trump, and look who just lost this election. A lot of Republican representatives in the House that helped make that happen. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that you can say – I don't think that you can make the case it's about the economy. And of course, to the extent to which this election – was about pro-life legislation and the heartbeat bill was the extent to which the Democrats succeeded in their messaging. And that's what it comes down to, is this is what they staked their claim on. 75%, I think I mentioned this in the article, 75% of the ads they ran mentioned healthcare. And if you've seen Democratic ads on healthcare, they all mention abortion.
Like, right.
This is what they...
Well, they don't say that word.
Well, right.
They say stuff like reproductive freedom and...
Right.
Those are Chris's favorite ads.
Yeah, but that's what they pushed throughout that. So even saying they're about healthcare, when you look at the content of the ads, they were clearly taking shots at the heartbeat law and at pro-life legislation. And so to me, when you look at the numbers, there's not really any other clear distinction. I mean, what other distinction is there at the state level that you could say, well, this is what helped Republicans get elected in a year where they were down 60,000 votes on the federal level? I don't see any other defining issue that can explain that. Now, we haven't seen yet the part that I'm interested in as far as the data goes. The data yet hasn't been released because canvassing isn't complete by the Secretary of State. But when that comes out, what I'll be looking for to validate kind of the final point that I think is true is the age demographics. Mm. I want to see how different age groups voted.
Yeah, because that would be very interesting.
That's the one I want to see, because we're in a generational shift right now. 2016, 2018, 2020 have been the times when the millennial generation is becoming the biggest voting bloc. I believe we are, as of 2 years ago, I think we are now the biggest voting bloc in America. Hmm. And so to see the viewpoints of that generation move forward, how that plays out, not just on the federal level where you can have, say, a depressing force because of the unpopularity of Trump. I want to see how that plays out in policy nationwide. I want to see how it plays out state to state. And I would not be surprised at all to find out that it's younger pro-life voters who made a difference here for Kim Reynolds.
I want to know if you agree with Joel. Do you think that he's spot on this, that the reason that the Republicans were able to hold control of the governor's office, the House of Representatives, and the Senate, and our state house. Do you think that's because of their pro-life positions and their policies that they've put forth? Do you think it's the heartbeat law? Do you think that that's why they did so well? And I want you to jump into this conversation by calling us, 515-727-5842. That's the number to call. We'll get you on air. Or you can text us at that same number, 515-727-5842. And Chris, through the power of his beard, will read your text very well to make sure that we're, you know, just including you in this conversation. Do you think that's the case? Joel Curtinitis does. And when we kind of go out to break and come back, I want to have you ruminate on this a little bit, but you are kind of a libertarian and you know, you lean that way, but you really supported Kim Reynolds and you had like libertarian people that like kind of knocked at your knees a little bit. We're kicking you in the shins. Like, hey, what's wrong with you,
his
man?
Wife.
Now that's where the pushback came from.
So, including his wife, Kelsey. Yes, she was not in support of Kim Reynolds as you know, electing her to the position. She voted for Jake Porter, who, by the way, I had Jake on the show, talked to him about his position on life. To be blunt, I didn't like all of his answers. I didn't think that he was as strong as he could or should have been. On that, were you with me when I interviewed Jake?
I was not.
Okay,
it
must have been a Wednesday show.
Yep.
Anyways, we're gonna go out, but I want you to jump in. Do you think that these people held their positions in office because of their pro-life positions? Do you think there's other mitigating factors to that? Well, Medicaid,
right?
A lot of people were really upset with Kim Reynolds on that particular issue, and so why did she get to stay in office? Joel is positing an idea. We'll be right back.
This is Faith Works Live, brought to you by Baldwin Heating and Plumbing, 515-371-4036. Now here's the host of Faith Works Live, Michael Damascus.
Personhood Iowa believes that all human life is created equal and sacred without exception, and every person deserves to be protected by law from fertilization until natural death. And you know what I think is really cool? You could have a pro-life Christmas this year. That's kind of a neat concept.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Tell me about that, Tim Overland.
Yeah, so this is actually inspired by two of the guys in the room here. So Mike talks a lot about how he does a lot of online shopping, and did that last year. I think was almost 100%, I think you said.
Yep.
And Chris came up with this idea. We were just chatting after the show one day. Hey, I wonder if ProLifeChristmas.com is taken. So we started poking around and found that. And, you know, we've had the Amazon Smile link. For those of you that shop with Amazon, if you don't know what that is, you just put smile.amazon.com and you can select Personhood Iowa as the beneficiary. It doesn't cost you anymore. We just benefit from that. And then we've got some other Iowa-based retailers on our page that we can do some fundraising with. We've got a really neat pro-life pendant. Just a great way to do some shopping right from your home. You don't have to go out on Friday and mess with the masses. You're going to do a lot of online shopping anyway. Just jump on ProLifeChristmas.com, and it helps us keep doing what we're doing.
Absolutely. I think that's a great idea, and I hope that you take advantage of that, ProLifeChristmas.com. And if you do shop on Amazon, like I have, and already am pretty much done with all of our Christmas shopping through Amazon, go to smile.amazon.com, pick Personhood Iowa as your recipient, and they'll be helped out by that as well. So it's a pretty simple thing to do, and that's the way we do our shopping. How about you, Joel? Do you do your shopping online?
What shopping?
Oh, there you go.
Kelsey, how do you do your shopping?
All right. So, hey, Joel Curtinitis is here with us. It's Life Tuesday. This is FaithWorks Live. We're talking about an article that Joel wrote for the Des Moines Register, basically analyzing what happened at the midterms for Iowa, for our state. We retained the trifecta. We've got the governor's office. We've got the state house. We've got the state senate. That's all for the Republican Party. When I say we, I get frustrated with Republicans from time to time. So, you know, just a full disclosure. Sometimes I don't want to say we, but we do have this trifecta still. And that's pretty hard to maintain.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had it for 2 years, and most people think you better do what you got to do in 2 years because you're going to be done. And I think a lot of people thought that coming into this election,
absolutely,
that we would not be able to maintain it. I heard from a lot of folks that we weren't going to be able to keep it, and we did. And it didn't look good for Kim Reynolds. And I'm so glad, I'm so thankful that once we got past the Polk County and the big cities, and it was all left to the common sense Iowa farmers, they did the right thing, and they made sure Kim Reynolds stayed in office, and I'm so thankful for that, because that she just carried the rural districts like Midas.
That was a red wave.
It was.
It rolled up through Northwest
Iowa. It genuinely
Iowa.
Was. I mean, Fred Hubble didn't get any of the rural areas at all, and Kim Reynolds won it overwhelmingly.
Mm-hmm.
So how did Jake Porter do?
He did not get to the 2% mark that you have to have in a gubernatorial or presidential race to keep the Libertarian Party as a major party in the state, which was really unfortunate. I was hoping that he would pull off enough to be able to do that. I think it is really important for the future to have more than just the two parties. I think we need to continue to see that breakout of parties becoming major and providing a challenge, because I think competition just generally promotes excellence.
I don't disagree with you at all. I think I wish he would have made at least the 2% mark, but I got to say this. Now, I'm just going to get all up in your business right now, because you and your wife voted for different candidates. Your wife voted for the Libertarian candidate, Jake Porter, because she was smoking her socks, and you supported Governor Kim Reynolds. So, I mean, how was that at home?
Well, I mean, we were fine. We talked about it, and I was completely okay with it. She was completely okay with it. It's just, you know, when you get married, you don't surrender your right to be an individual. And there's mutual respect there for us. Kelsey was a political activist when I met her,
mm-hmm.
and I was a political activist when she met me.
Can I ask you a side question?
Campaign.
Why are libertarians so annoying?
Well,
sorry.
Boy, that's
Michael.
So...
Michael.Damastis at
yeah. No, that's you're inviting. I mean, this is the way. It's one way to get traffic. No, so there's. I have a little brother.
Yes.
I considered him to be annoying for most of my life.
Mm.
And the reason was because I was the older brother and he's the younger one. The younger brother's job is to be annoying because you don't have the outright power. Draw what conclusions you like.
There you go. All right. Well, hey, and the only reason, by the way, the only reason I brought up that you guys are supporting different candidates is because your wife put it out there.
Right, right. And I had an endorsement
video. And you put
video.
It out there.
Look, I agonized over that opinion. It was not something that I came to lightly. If there was any other issue but life, and if it was any other year than the year after the heartbeat law had been signed, the decision might not have gone the same way. Because
okay.
I have major problems with the Branstad establishment that sort of handpicked Kim Reynolds and put her into this position. I have major problems with Kim Reynolds herself going back to the 2012 election when she sort of lost Ron Paul's nomination papers on the floor of the RNC. Mm. So there's a lot of bad blood there. It was not easy for me to, you know, kind of put aside my pride and put aside my background and say, okay, this is the right thing to do in this election. And it really wasn't about Kim Reynolds herself. And I made that clear in the video. This is about the controlling narrative of the Iowa elections right now, knowing that the Democratic Party in Iowa and the progressive establishment as a whole had put all their chips in on this pro-abortion message. They were looking for this win to make that narrative work.
And
denying them that is critically important.
In your friends in the Libertarian Party, mm-hmm. and you have many,
mm-hmm.
they responded to you.
Yes,
that's a really good word. They were frustrated with your choice. Explain, if you could, to the best of your ability, their reasoning for pushing back on you for supporting Kim Reynolds.
Sure. Well, part of it, again, was that history of being the outsider from the establishment, being one of the guys in the State Central Committee who then, you know, the Branstad group came in and steamrolled on their way back to claiming power a few years ago. So there was that tension to start with. But I think the other part of it was just that I had spent a lot of the year talking about the importance of third parties and the way that I see them going in the future, the fact that I believe they'll be more successful. I worked hard to bring exposure to Jake Porter and Marco and a lot of the others within the Libertarian Party because I think they have a lot to offer to the discussion. I wrote an article encouraging Governor Reynolds to include them in the debates.
Right.
And I think that as the race would be better with more libertarians in it, again, to have that pushback, have those challenges so that it's not just the left's talking points and the right's talking points. You have issues that get ignored by both sides that can be brought up by that third party. So I think the expectation was there that because I had helped them get exposure and had worked, to try to put them in a position to gain more notoriety, that I would issue that endorsement in the direction of the libertarians. And again, a couple variables change, and I probably would have. But I could not. There's a couple issues that I just can't go there on. And life is one of them. And I had a good talk. I'm on good terms with Jake Porter. I had a good talk with him beforehand, let him know that was the direction that I was going.
I would label Jake Porter as pro-life, but just not as clear-cut pro-life as I would like him to be.
Sure.
And up until 3 weeks before the election, probably I would have said the same thing with Kim Reynolds until she finally figured out. I mean, you know, Joel's talking about the message of the Democrats beating her over the head. I mean, every time she did something, she signed the heartbeat law, all those things. Fred Hubble had a new pro-abortion commercial he ran, and she finally did one online and finally started talking about it. She started talking about her record there instead of trying to beat up on him as the rich white guy, which
right.
It felt really Democratic ads that they were running. And when she started finally talking about what she had done and they had the online ad and she came on your show and talked about being pro-life, it was almost like Joni Ernst back when she was the personhood proponent in the Iowa Senate and then never wanted to touch it until Braley beat her over the head with it. He ran better pro-life ads for her than she did. And I felt that Hubble was kind of doing the same thing for Kim Reynolds up until the last few weeks.
Right.
And it's not always about the candidates primarily either. It is usually about the candidates. But so what's your favorite superhero movie?
Oh my goodness.
I promise I'm going somewhere with this.
My favorite one, mm-hmm. Civil War, Captain America Civil War.
What's yours?
I was going to say that or Iron Man, the one that kind of kicked him off.
Chris?
Yeah.
Oh, nothing? Okay. I can't believe that we're sitting in this room and I didn't get The Dark Knight from anybody. So The Dark Knight has a portion at the end where it's up there at least, right? So there's a scene at the end where, you know, Harvey Dent has turned into Two-Face, and the question is, what
spoiler
do we do?
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Now the question is what to do, that the cops are coming, we're going to have this terrible situation, he's going to be discredited, and the Joker will win. And he says the Joker cannot win. And so they develop this scenario to take care of it. This is a case where it's about the narrative, just mm-hmm. like that. It's about the narrative. The Joker cannot win. If Fred Hubble had won, Planned Parenthood wins. It changes the entire direction of the narrative, and that could not be allowed to happen here.
Amen.
Talking with Joel Curtinitis. We'll be right back.
This is Faith Works Live, brought to you by Baldwin Heating and Plumbing, 515-371-4036. Now here's the host of Faith Works Live, Michael Damascus.
So glad you're joining us today. It's Tuesday, Life Tuesday here at Faith Works Live. In studio with me is Tim Overland, Director of Personhood Iowa. Chris Roloff is also here with us. He's a producer today for the show, but we've got Joel Curtinitis, a contributor to the Des Moines Register, who wrote an article recently about just really analyzing the midterm results for the state of Iowa. And your ultimate conclusion was the more pro-life you were, the better you did.
More or less.
So, Chris, you wanted to ask a question. I want you to ask that on air.
Based on what I've read on social media and response on the Des Moines Register's Facebook page, most of the people seem to be saying, but almost 50% of us didn't vote for Reynolds. Almost 50% of us voted for Hubble, so we are not in favor of this terrible law. How do you respond to those folks?
So? No, I mean,
so
I had to lead off that way because when you the rule in politics is either you're the majority or you're no one, right? I mean, we had a strong minority that voted against Obama in 2008.
Hasn't anybody told this to Rekha Basu?
I don't think so. But this is it's one of those things it's so cliche as to be just boring. Every election, every loser says, "Well, we almost won, so you have to pay attention to us too." And every winner says, "Oh yeah, you really put up a good fight," and then proceeds to ignore them for the rest of the term. Like these are just mantras that happen in politics.
The Cleveland Browns almost always almost win.
Right, exactly. And so like that's what it comes down to is, you know, if either there's a mandate there or there's not, and a mandate comes from a majority. And so but even so, that's not really the point of my article. The point of my article wasn't that she won by stunning numbers and that Republicans walked all over everyone, because that's not true. My point was, in comparison to the expectations for this year, Democrats, and especially pro-choice Democrats and loud pro-abortion Democrats, severely underperformed. And that's the question. It's not a static zero-sum who won and who lost. It is, you were expected to capture much more than this. How did you leave the state in Republican hands when you have a president who is a reality TV star tweeting out crass ridiculousness every day? How did you still not capture back one part of the Iowa legislative process? I don't understand that. And so that would be my response to that is, yeah, you almost won. That's a terrible disappointment based on what you ran on. Based on, remember all the coat hanger crowds?
Oh,
remember
my goodness.
all the pink hat crowd that was out at the Capitol all the time screaming, "We're going to get you for this. We're going to take over the House. We're going to show you that, you know, this is going to be a victory for women's health," and all the other euphemisms they use.
That's something that drove me nuts, by the way. I saw all the movement of people, the gals, putting a coat hanger tattoo on their ankle. You know, so you can afford to go get a tattoo, but you want me to buy your birth control. So what?
Well, you know, Kelsey and I were talking about that, too. Can you think of a more crass way to show your support for abortion than coat hanger, which literally says, "I will destroy my insides trying to kill another human being"? Like, can you think of a more crass symbol that you could possibly wave around? Like,
I don't get it.
I'm so desperate to kill this little human, I'll use a coat hanger on myself. Like, yeah. Is that really something? Like, even if I was on their side, like, is that really the symbol you want?
Chris Roloff.
I don't think that's what that symbol means to them, though. I think that's what you think that symbol means, but I don't think that's what that symbol means. I would say that my suspicion is I don't have a coat hanger tattoo. But my suspicion would be people who get coat hanger tattoos do that because they're saying, "We're never going back to this."
Oh yeah, no, I understand. But the obvious response is, then don't do that, right?
Like, right. But that's what they have in the legislation right now.
Yeah.
They have a law that protects them from ever going back to that. Mm-hmm. It would be like a hanging, lynching thing. We're not going to go back to that. We're going to fight for our freedom that we have now. We have the right so that we never go back to this horrible thing.
Well, sure. But the critical difference is lynching is something you do to other people. This is something you do to yourself.
And to another person.
Right.
And to another person. That's accepting a false narrative, too, that we don't have time for.
Yeah. I'm just saying from a messaging standpoint, if I was on their side, I might advise something else. But.
Right. So here we have these people, by the way, that are wanting to stop heartbeat law at any level, by the way, that, I mean, it's kind of, we haven't heard a lot about that recently. I hear something's coming up, just as a side note.
Yeah. So December 7th at the Polk County Courthouse, I believe it's at 10:30, there's a hearing on this. This will be the hearing. We do want to get folks out. We're working on that. But we'll have a save the date stuff. You'll see a save the date stuff coming out from the coalition as we get more details. This might be one of the few chances where you have we don't know the size of the courtroom or any of that type of stuff, but we do want folks to come out. This will be the time for the press, for the judge, for people to see that this didn't just go away. That we didn't just have our victory and spike our football. So please be tune into your favorite coalition Facebook page, Personhood Iowa. We'll all have that out there. But December 7th, Friday, put it on your calendar. Might be a good time to take a half a day off work if you need to. 10:30, I believe, is the scheduled time of that hearing. But we'll have a lot more details coming out.
Just to harp on this one more moment, Jazz on Facebook said that I would presume that most women who have actually gone through this abomination could never get that tattoo, no matter what their politics are. I don't know. I'm we're all guys sitting in here, but
yeah.
I have met some pretty hard-lined pro-abortion gals.
And Jazz and I are getting ready to drive to a funeral after this, so we can talk about this. There's some of those folks that, and Jazz has had these conversations, as a lot of us in this room have. You can tell when you have a conversation with somebody who has had an abortion, and that's why you know where that anger is coming from and that hurt and all of that stuff, and you get that pushback. Yeah, sadly, they might, and, you know, I don't know. It's something we'll talk through this, obviously, in the car, but, you know, you do a lot of things to justify sometimes if you haven't accepted it.
Yeah, and I mean, isn't that what's behind the whole shout your abortion,
sure,
you know, movement?
Yeah.
Right, and you know, the more that their side brings visibility to this in terms of the more specific they are about what abortion actually is and the lives that it destroys, that turns into an electoral loss for them. And that's what this election bore out. That's why I wrote the article that I did, to show if you want to embrace this Democratic Party, if you want to say, all right, we're going full gung-ho pro-abortion, it's going to cost you. And I don't think it's just limited to the Midwest either. I think you're going to continue to see this trend forward in the future.
And you believe ultimately that's because the millennial generation and younger, they are leaning more pro-life than previous generations.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, think about it. Between 1973 and now, we have two boys now. With both of them, we tracked their entire development from the time that we found out that my wife was pregnant. We're looking at the sonograms. We're following, you know, we're going online to find out what's, you know, how baby's doing this week and all of these things. There's this knowledge that's just everywhere that this is a little human being. You really can't grow up today and know anything about science at all without knowing that. And so I think, you know, this older generation that's very kind of violently pro Roe v. Wade, that's where the change is coming. They're not seeing that. They haven't kept up with what we're seeing in medical science now. And that's where this disconnect is coming from. But the younger generation doesn't have that disconnect. Right. It's visible to us.
I would circle back to one of the first things you said in the show, Mike. You were talking about how horrible that the title was of Joel's piece.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nice job keeping heartbeat in there, because everybody on that side wants to run away from that. So to Joel's point, the science, they don't want to talk about heartbeat, because we know what that shows us and what that
they
means.
They did put it in quotes.
Right. Well, and that's still there and they don't like it.
That's to minimize its, you know, its value almost, you know, that they call it the heartbeat
right.
law.
Well, they could have said the 6-week bill.
Yeah.
6-week anti-abortion bill is what they called it all the way. Once they figured out, hey, this heartbeat thing hurts our message.
Yeah. It was a marketing success to get the bill branded, that for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely it was. Well, Joel, I appreciate you coming on, and you're always kind of elevate the talk in the studio when you're here. I do appreciate that. And thank you. Keep doing what you're doing. Where can people find your stuff?
So you can find me on Facebook. I have a public page at facebook.com/jcurtinitis and on Twitter at Joel_Curtinitis. That's KURTINITIS, as Chris Roloff so nicely pointed out earlier. It's too many letters.
I think you did really well spelling that. I have trouble with that from time to time.
I've had practice.
Yeah, good.
Well, hey, I want to tell all of you that are listening today, make sure you make this this holiday meaningful. And one of the ways you can do that, just to plug this again, is to go to prolifechristmas.com. That's a way that you can actually purchase some things, some gifts to give during the holiday season. But you're also helping out a very worthy pro-life organization. And I just hope and pray you do that. Go to smile.amazon.com and choose Personhood Iowa. Or honestly, I'm going to just throw it out there. There's other organizations, too, that we love and support. Agape and Ruth Harbor, they're all on there, too. But just make this a pro-life holiday season, a pro-life Christmas. Go to prolifechristmas.com. Again, thanks, Joel, for being with us, and we will see you next week.